So I want you to know that this whole restoration, we even have groups out there that are called restoration groups. They'll go into homes that are really bad off. They had a fire or they had something go bad. And they'll go in and they'll restore it. Or if they deem it necessary, they'll just tear it down, throw it in a dumpster and call it a day. And when things get so bad in people's lives, the Lord refers to it in that way. Basically, the only thing you can do is remove the house. Jesus calls us a house, that we're part of his home, and that we belong to him and he belongs to us. And so when people sin and they continue to sin till they don't even bring God into their thoughts anymore, the Lord says, I'm going to remove you. In fact, I'm not only going to remove you, I'm going to cause those of you that are extraordinarily in the wrong place, I'm going to have you removed permanently. And he did. Now, when we come to Jeremiah, we see this actually taking place, and we're going to spend a little time on that. So again, I want to reemphasize, in the book of Jeremiah, it's not about the destruction, it's about the rebuilding. And sometimes the destruction has to come so we can rebuild. Jesus is going to restore his kingdom. The day is coming that he will sit in Jerusalem on the throne. That day is absolutely coming. And all the governors and the kings and whoever their name brand may be around the world will bow before him. Just going to happen that way. We have so many people who think they're so smart. And in the academic world, they are. But there will never be a perfect nation without a perfect ruler. That's the problem. What we have right now is there are no perfect rulers. They all have their own agenda. They're all trying to figure out what they're going to do. I've always thought it was rather humorous how some of these guys come into presidencies of their nation. They're poor and poor. And next thing you know, they own this massively beautiful mansion in Lake Geneva, Switzerland. And they got all these things. And yeah, they had a real heart for their nation. People on the street, nothing changed. When communism took over Russia, to the poor person, nothing changed. They were just actually poor. Nothing changed. They would remove some people that had a certain amount of wealth and replace them with someone else who then inherited that wealth. So it just flips groups and people and names, but nothing much changed because they're not righteous people. They're not really caring about people. You know, they always say all these things. I've always found it a little disheartening when people run for presidency and they think they need the Christian vote and they talk about God. I thought, yeah, you know. They don't know him at all. They have no idea. You can hear it in their speech. You can hear it in their activities. And they're never going to do anything for us. They're going to live what they want to live. Well, in the 30th chapter, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. Now, I found that so fascinating. What's so fascinating, Mike? I thought you'd never ask. Why did he say to yourself? Why didn't he say for the nations? Why didn't he say for the peoples to come? Why did he say write this all in the book for yourself? The answer is, I don't know. But if he wrote it in a book for even himself, it's going to be here to this day for us. And we will read it for ourselves. If there's an emphasis, I think that's probably it. And then it says, for behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel, Judah, says the Lord, Israel and Judah, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, that they shall possess it. Now, when we start to go through this, you're going to learn that prophecy skips around. It's a fascinating thing. You go from one point back in time to next thing you know, you're talking about future time. It talks about returning the people. Not only did they return, a large number of them, but then they were cast out even farther with the Romans and sent all over the world. And now God's bringing them back again. So we have a time, we had another time, and yes, we have yet another time that God's going to continually increase bringing his people back. If you would, turn with me, if you have your Bibles and want to turn, you can go to the book of Ezra, because Ezra is actually the telling of the story of them coming back. So you could read through Jeremiah to a certain point when it starts talking about the people coming back. We'll then turn over to Ezra and start reading, and here are the people that came back. It happened during Cyrus, king of Persia, when he declared that the people were to return, and he wrote a letter, and he said that all the things that were taken from you by Nebuchadnezzar that's been in the storehouse unto the gods of the Babylonians, that storehouse would be, all that would be removed and given back to them, and they were to go back to Jerusalem and build a temple to the name of this great God. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Didn't say build walls. He just said go back and build the temple. Well, the people did go back. And, you know, you almost assume, because the name of the book is called Ezra, that it's all about Ezra. But Ezra didn't go back right away. It's quite a ways later. Zerubbabel and a few other men led the people back. And that's why it was called Zerubbabel's temple. There was Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple, and Herod's temple. Now, Herod's temple was just a rebuild, expanded upon Zerubbabel's temple. He appointed so many, Herod the Great appointed all these priests to make sure that things were going the way they were supposed to, that none of the laws were broken as they built this gorgeous building. And remember the disciples, how they took Jesus around, says, look at these great big stones. I would have done that. I'm into big rocks. Beth and I went for a little ride the other day, and there's these crop of rocks that would stand way up. And I go, look at that thing. Why? I mean, why just that group? And then you look way over that way, and there's another big crop of rocks standing way up. We're in an area that some of you probably never heard of, because those are the kind of places we go to. And it was called Mount Vernon, Wisconsin. How many have been there? Been to Mount Vernon, Wisconsin? It's a nothing place. I think there may be 100 people, plus their dogs. Cute little area, beautiful rolling hills. It's southwest of Madison. But Zerubbabel and all these people came back, and in fact, in verse 2 of chapter 2, it talks about here are the leaders. And one of those guys listed there is Mordecai, but it can't be the same Mordecai because Esther hasn't gone before, because that king isn't even in existence yet. So that must have been a popular name. We then go in verse 4 all the way down. It talks about there was 372 of these people groups and so many of these people groups. They went all the way down the whole list, and they come finally over to number 64, and says that there was 42,360 who came back. That's a good group. They came back to build the temple, but it did not include all the people. There were other groups that were involved. Talks about how many mules, how many camels. That was important because you had to move those big old rocks. And they built their homes, and they all lived there. And this didn't happen overnight. This is not an American-sized time period. This is a long time period, where they lived in their own homes and they had children and things just went on. It wasn't until the 7th chapter that Ezra showed up. In between time, just in case for those that have reading this, there was a group of people that could not prove that they were of the family of Israel. They couldn't find the father. The closest father to the 12. So they put them aside and would not allow them to be declared Israeli until the priest consulted the Urim and the Thummim. And that was, and most people understanding that is two rocks that would evidently do something. Some people thought that they kind of glowed. You'd ask a question, and one or the other would do something, and the priest would give an answer. So no one knows exactly, it doesn't say, but I would just go with the glow. I like glow. Glow rocks, you know. And they'd ask a question, and it would glow, and they would say, yes, they're of the family, or no, they're not of the family. And they would just continue to go down through the list. So we know that when he's talking here in the book of Jeremiah, that here's the proof of what he's talking about. Ezra is the whole proof of it. In fact, they had been there so long, by the time Jeremiah shows up in the 7th chapter, that he starts to confront people because they had lived there so long, they had their own homes, they everything was fine. In fact, I think it was Haggai who bawled them out for that. You live in such beautiful homes, and yet the house of the Lord still isn't built. In the 9th chapter of Ezra, he said to them, listen, you guys have settled in, and you've married into the women of the land, and you've given your sons to the women in the land. Some of you even have children by these women. This can't be happening. That was one of the no-nos in the rules of God. He wanted his people to be set apart wholly unto him. People say, well, that don't seem right. Well, it does in the mind of God when you look at it from his viewpoint and not from our viewpoint. His viewpoint is, I wanted a holy people, a people very different from all the other people on the earth who are going to inevitably teach everybody else how to love and worship the Lord. That was their purpose, which they never fulfilled. But they will. Now we come to that part in Scripture where it talks about Jeremiah proclaiming, verse 4, and these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor? And all faces turned pale. Well, that's because they got a massive army out there and they're cutting heads off. Alas, for that day is great. Now all of a sudden you come to verse 7 and it goes way into the future. So that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble. but he shall be saved out of it. It shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, and they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Therefore, do not fear, O servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. I will save you from afar. Save you from afar. Did they save themselves? After Rome crushed them? Historians say they sold them in so mass that they couldn't even find any buyers for them anymore. And they scattered them throughout the whole world. Did they fight a war to get themselves a land back? No. It was countries like United States, Great Britain, and others who declared that we need to have them in their own land. They need their own land. They were saved from afar. Interesting. A little word in the Old Testament thousands of years ago came to pass in 1948. I saved them from afar. And he did. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make complete end of you. I will correct you in justice, and I will not let you go altogether unpunished. Verse 18, I will bring you back, the captive of Jacob's tent, and have mercy on his dwelling place. Jacob's trouble is actually talking about a time to come that is still not here, when the earth will go through a cataclysmic crisis and upheaval. It's fast moving that way. I've told you before how much China is building a military. They want to be the world's number one military. They want to replace United States. Good Lord, folks, have you ever gone to a store and looked for something not made in China? That's by intent. I saw a lady being interviewed, and she is the Chinese version of raisins. Yeah, you know, raisins out in California, we grow a lot of raisins and shrink them down, put them in little boxes. They decided that she was going to outperform them until where she would put them out of business. And all your raisins will come from China, along with all your hammers, your screwdrivers, and everything else that's on the market. I do this a lot. I walk through a place and I'm constantly flipping over to see where things are made. It's so hard to find anything not made in China. Once in a while, you get Taiwan. And once in a while, you'll see something made in Israel. And there are a few other places. But when you look in our history of the prophetic periods of time, and I just want to speak a little bit about the prophetic periods of time, we have the time from Abraham, Jacob, Isaac. That was a time period of about 1921 to 1491. Now, you realize that you're going from the larger number to the smaller number as you get closer to the Christ being born when the calendar changed. Then you go the other way. Then the time of Moses was from 1491 to about 1370. The pre-exile was from 900 to 600. You know, God's been talking to these people for 300 years. When do you finally say enough's enough? You're just like your fathers. You're stiff-necked and you're rebellious. looks like today. They were in exile from about 600 to 500. They were after the Exodus from about 500 to 400. And there's 400 years of silence, no prophetic message. That's why when you come to the New Testament, it starts with prophetic utterance. That Jesus was going to be born. Isn't that cool? Angels' activity. You know, the angels must have been real excited. They got to do something. They got to go and give a message. There's a child going to be born by a virgin. That hasn't happened in 400 years. Where God had spoken something. I'll tell you what, that was no small thing that happened there that day. We know there's John the Baptist and Jesus about 1 AD to about 30. The apostles about 27 to about 100 because they were 3 years with Jesus. New Testament church age is from 33 AD to the present. Jacob's trouble is found in other places. So if you want, go to Daniel, the 12th chapter, and we'll look at Jacob's trouble. Chapter 12. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Well, that's hard to believe considering what you've already seen. Only thing about this time around is the church is thrown in there as well. We are the ones grafted in. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Wouldn't that be cool? I don't know what that's going to look like, but I'd like to have collect as many stars as I can get. Starting with verse 7, then I heard a man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven. So he had both hands up. And swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time, and the power of the holy people will be completely shattered. All these things shall be finished. Now that's not the kind of thing you want to hear. But we're tied with that group. Because in another place, it talks about how he goes out and God saves a remnant. So he goes after the offspring. Well, who's the offspring? Here we are. We're the offspring. So let it be known that it's not without being declared that the day is coming when the powers that be on planet Earth are going to shrink down the power to a handful of people and they're going to hate the church. You already see that spirit. They don't think the church is relevant. But the Bible says in going back, oh, let me finish reading here. There's a couple things I wanted to say. And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. When you see what's going on around you in the political scene, do you see what's going on? They don't see what's going on. They think they're right and we're wrong. But it's going to go on to the time of the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, and there shall be 1,290 days. Isn't God wonderful? In the most difficult time, he tells you exactly how many days, not how many years, how many days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335th days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. We all have an inheritance, folks. People say, well, I haven't done anything. You'd be amazed at what you've done. We always underestimate. You know, you got two voices. I met a man not long ago, and he was constantly telling me, and I said, you know, you act like there's only one voice in this world. Everything is the voice of God. I said, do you realize there's the voice of demons? That there's the voice of Satan? It's not just God. You can't say, well, everything is all about God. No, when you live a life of sin, it's not because God's in favor of your sin. It's because you're listening to the voice of demons. It's what it is. So in the 30th chapter, verse 10, it says that go your way, don't be dismayed. For behold, I will save you from afar. Jacob shall return, have rest and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you. Do you believe that, what it's saying? What is it saying, Mike? It says that every place the Jewish people were scattered, God's going to make an end of that nation. Well, that's all of them. You can go to Siberia, they're there. You can go to Argentina. They're there. You can go to the lands of throughout the continent of Africa. They're there. And God says, I want to make an end of all those nations. Why? Because his nation is the only one that's going to be. Isn't that cool? Amen. I look forward to righteousness. A righteous ruler and a righteous nation. So don't be afraid of these people around about you who are threatening you. If you don't do this, you don't do that, then we're going to do this. Oh, guys. That's such emptiness. And if it was not empty, it wouldn't matter. I belong to a kingdom of God, not to this world. I want to say a couple things here about where it says that, just the other day I heard how God has blessed Israel. Do you know that they are now number 10 in the world for gross national output? Number 10. And the article was, how can such a small country rise to number 10? Oh, wouldn't it be a horrible day when they're going to have to allow them into the top 20 and let them speak, because they'll probably say things that the rest of them don't want to hear. Another thing that you saw with your very eyes that should tell you something, if you have a spiritual inclination, do you realize that the other day there was 40,000 people, 40,000, oh Lord, 40 people who died in a celebration in Israel. How many saw that article? The very fact that they thought that there would be like 10,000 people come to celebrate, and it was just a celebrating of who they are. But 100,000 people showed up. Talk about an awakening going on. 100,000 people showed up, and then as they were getting they were leaving or whatever caused it. I never did pick up on the exact cause of it. They were going through this narrow passageway and they just got started getting crushed. And even children were getting crushed, and over 40 people died, and a couple Americans who went over there for the festival, and numerous ones hurt. But do you see the bigger picture? 100,000 people showed up to celebrate. What it is to worship the Lord as a Jewish person. That's significant. The Lord says, I'm going to love you with an everlasting love. I'm going to gather you from afar. Chapter 13, or verse 13 and 14. Of 31, chapter 31. Talks about that the virgin shall rejoice in a dance, and the young men and the old men together. And I will turn their mourning to joy. I will comfort them, and I will make them rejoice.